You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Good morning. We are halfway through this Fences series where, as you saw in that little intro video, we're talking about the importance of creating and building boundaries in our lives and how those boundaries are there to protect us, to help us stay focused and to avoid things that we should avoid. And before we get into that, I want to talk about the remote control. Now, I'm fully aware, actually, as I was just even this morning thinking about this, maybe it was last night, my whole plan for today is kind of dated. I'm an old guy, and so like the idea of a remote control is kind of gone. But you know, they still exist, I guess, on some level. Maybe you use the remote control app on your individual device. But a remote control has this nifty little function, especially if you're watching a movie or TV. Well, probably not as much TV unless it's DVR'd. But you can rewind, pause, and fast forward through a movie with a remote control. And I don't even know. I'm just breaking down some barriers between my age and maybe yours. But now, I don't even know, can you actually fast forward like through a thing with not just 10-second skips, but fast forward? I don't know if you can do that, but once upon a time you could. And once upon a time you actually had to rewind a movie if you were to rent it. When it was over, you had to rewind it. You push rewind and just wait for it to go and go and go. And go. And then eventually, you know, you would take it back to Blockbuster Video. Remember that place? And you would take it to Blockbuster Video. And if you didn't rewind, you could actually get a fine, a little penalty because you had to rewind it. And then once, when I was in, oh, it was probably about 15 years ago, when DVDs started making the transition. This is way off my topic. When DVDs started making the transition, we had a DVD player. And I remember our babysitter told me that, said, don't worry, I rewound the DVD when I was done, and I'm like, you don't have to rewind DVDs. But anyway, but this idea of a fast forward button, an idea of where you can take something and say, okay, I'm going to push this button right here, and it will move forward. And there was a movie, I think it was about 2006 that came out. It was called Click with Adam Sandler. It is not a good movie. The content is just not there. Honestly, I couldn't even find a clip to show this morning because I couldn't find anything that wasn't, you know, borderline inappropriate. Certainly not in a audience such as this. But the concept of the movie is brilliant. Adam Sandler's character goes to Bed Bath & Beyond, and he ends up going to the Way Beyond part at the back of the store where he meets Christopher Walken, who is crazy in real life and in every movie he ever is in. And he gives Adam Sandler this remote and says, you can control your life with it. That's essentially the plot. And so he kind of skips through the parts that are boring and gets to the parts that he likes and pauses the things that are good. And it's this whole thing. And by the end of the movie, he gets to the end of his life as he's fast-forwarding through and realizes that he made tons of poor choices throughout the movie. And he gets to the end and he's full of regret. Well, spoiler, he wakes up and it was just a dream thing. And so he gets to the end of this movie, and I wonder, when it comes to our lives, when it comes to just movies in general, if we had the chance, when we were about to make a key decision, to fast forward to see what would happen, would we still make that decision? And so I've got some examples for you from some people that you're probably good friends with. Let's start. I thought, you know, if I've got this remote control here, why don't we start with, say, Frodo Baggins. Everybody knows Frodo Baggins. If you don't know Frodo Baggins, he's a character from a movie called The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, the whole the trilogy there. And so I just want to take a moment and look at Frodo Baggins. He's about to make a decision.
We must get up the mountain! Make the gap of Rohan! Or take the worst roads of our city!
The gap of Rohan takes us too close to Isengard!
We cannot pass over the mountain! Let us go under it! Let us go through the mines of Moria! Let the ring bearer decide.
We cannot stay here! This will be the death of the hobbits!
Frodo?
We will go through the mines.
So, Frodo, You have a decision. You just made a decision to go through mines. If you could fast forward through your life, through what's about to happen, would you still make that decision? So let's unpause here and see if we can fast forward my fancy-dancy, cool, neat remote thing that doesn't even work for this projector, but it looks cool, doesn't it? So here we go. Yeah, so. Yes, thank you for the audio there. By the way, if you haven't seen this movie, there's some spoilers there. Don't let them ruin it for you. The fight scenes, like as you'll see here in a moment, are really choppy because that's what happens. So they're in the mines now. Frodo, is this the right decision? We will see Elijah Wood making his face of pain, which he does throughout the entire trilogy. What's the red? So Frodo, was that a wise choice? Would you still make that choice knowing that you were going to encounter the Balrog and something else bad will happen? I'm not going to spoil it, but something else bad is about to happen there too. So that's Frodo. If he had a chance to fast forward, would he still make that decision? How about this lovely, very, 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 very pale-faced young lady? She is about to be confronted with a decision. Let's see what her options are.
There must be something your little heart desires. Perhaps there's someone you love.
Well,
I've always
wanted to know.
I thought so. Oh, Granny knows a young girl's heart. Now take the apple, dear, and make a wish.
I wish.
That's it. Go on. Don't let the wish grow cold.
Okay, Snow White. Now that we've paused it here, do you think that's the right choice? Should you eat that apple from this random old lady that you've never really met before and just needs some serious cosmetology, dermatology? Let's be honest, Snow White needs a nose herself. So, Snow White, if you knew what was about to take place, would you still make this decision? Let's fast forward and see. If I can get my fancy remote to work. Go. And go. And go. Oh, there we go. Snow White. You did. You should not have eaten that apple. So if she knew she was going to die, would she have eaten that apple? We don't know. Now, let's get a little bit more personal to someone that I'm very close to. And that would be young Anakin Skywalker. Anakin, we've got a decision in front of you. You're presented with a choice to make. Let's see what his choice is.
Only through me can you achieve a power greater than any Jedi. Learn to know the dark side of the Force, and you will be able to save your wife from certain death.
What did you say?
Wait a second, Anakin. This guy said you can learn to know the dark side and save your wife. Save your wife, learn the dark side. What's the worst that could possibly happen, Anakin? And by the way, if I'm spoiling something for you, you've had your shot. Like, I am so sorry, but it's been like, dude, this is the prequel trilogy, which was like 2003, 2002. Let's see what Anakin, if his decision was a wise one. Now, bear with us, because it takes a while for him to see what happens with his decision here. So let's unpause that and fast forward here in a second. There we go. Patience. If you haven't seen the movie, here's a good shot for you. Oh no, you're breaking my heart. Okay, oh no, we're fighting. You haven't won. Yes, I have. What could this be, Anakin? Hear it? Sounds ominous. So Anakin made a decision. If he knew what that would turn into, just quickly using the dark side, if it would turn to, by the way, that's Darth Vader. And just that breath sound, like even still, like I remember watching that when I was just a little like 5-year-old and hearing he was scary then. So that was Anakin Skywalker's choice. Like, would he, if he had known what it would come to, Would he have, if he could have fast-forwarded through his life, would he have made that choice? And then finally, if you're my age, you'll appreciate this. If you're too young, you'd be like, what is this all about? It doesn't matter. Just go with it. Okay? There's this guy here. His name's Cameron.
Ferris, my father loves his car more than life itself.
A man with priorities so far out of whack doesn't deserve such a fine automobile.
No.
Apparently, you don't understand.
Wow.
Ferris, he never drives it. He just rubs it with a diaper. Hey, remember how insane he went when I broke my retainer?
Huh? Come on, that was a little piece of plastic. This is a Ferrari.
Okay, so Cameron, do you let Ferris borrow the Ferrari? Do you let him drive the Ferrari that his dad never drove? And which, of course, we didn't show the part there. His dad actually tracks the mileage. What is the worst that could possibly go wrong? Just let Ferris do it. But if he could fast forward through his life, would he still allow the choice to happen here? And if you're around my age, you're having all sorts of warm fuzzies right now. I remember that part. Oh, wait, they're taking it to a parking garage and leaving it with these guys. I'm sure it'll be fine. Let's check out Chicago. Sausage King of the Midwest. So Cameron, apparently those guys did not just leave the car in the garage and went for a joyride with it. If you knew what that was going to be, and of course it gets even worse from there because Cameron decides to have a little bit of a breakdown because Ferris borrowed the car, and breakdown is a literal phrase if you've seen that movie. And so each of these things, like if you knew what it would cost you, would you still make a decision? And don't you wonder that? Like, if we had our own little click remote control that we could fast forward when we're about to make a decision and go, okay, is this worth it? What would it cost us? And that's what I want to talk about today, about the idea of what things are we doing now? What decisions are you making now that if you could fast forward, you go, whoa, no way, I am not going to do that. And so the point that I want you to get today, and we've already warned you today, it's going to be PG-13. I'm going to say words like sex. Okay? So that's a word. But the point that I want you to get today is that fences in our sexuality protect our future. And again, looking at this idea, when it comes to sex, it's sort of, and we'll see here, Paul wrote about this through 2,000 years ago, and is dealing with some of the same struggles that we deal with today. And this idea that, like, well, it's just this thing. It's just an act. It doesn't really matter. And I want you to understand that it does. That the decisions you're making now, the decisions that we make now regarding sex, will affect our future. And if we make poor choices, it will affect our future in a negative way. And I wish, I mean, it would be great if we could have a fast-forward button to see what would happen if we do this. But I will also suggest to you that God, who is supernatural, who is bigger than us, who is bigger than time, does know what your future holds. And therefore said, you know what, I'm going to give you my word, I'm going to give you my instructions, so that you don't make poor choices. If you remember the very first week of this series, we talked about another person that was offered an apple or a fruit. And if she knew, if he knew, if Adam and Eve knew what that decision would cost them, would they have done it? I would think that they would not have. But God warned them and said, stay away from this tree. If you didn't know, if you weren't here for that, you can listen to it at mc3church.org. Click on, well, just slash fences, or click on the logo for this series, and you can listen to that first week. But I want to talk about this idea of making wise choices now related to sex for the sake of our future. So here's the passage again. I said Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth. He planted this church, let's just be clear, especially if you grew up in church, especially if you're like one of those like, oh, the world out there, everything's oh so awful. It is. I'm not denying that. But dude, it was nothing like what it was in Paul's time in Corinth. And so we're going to look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The house lights are going on. If you have a paper Bible, you can open your Bibles there. And if you have the YouVersion app, we're in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians is probably about one of those 6, 7, 8 down on the list of New Testament passages. And we're going to be in chapter 6, starting at verse 12. So we're going to read this, and then I'll kind of come back and explain what's going on here and what Paul is talking about. Because he wrote this letter to this church that he planted and said, look, there's some issues we need to deal with. There's some things that are going on. There's some decisions that this church was making, that the people in this church were making. He said, we need to address them. So this is what he says in chapter 6, starting in verse 12. He says, some of you say, everything is permitted for me, but not everything is good for me. Again, some of you say everything is permitted for me, but I will not be controlled by anything. Some of you say food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual sins. The body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord is meant for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. He will also raise us. Going on, he says, don't you know that your bodies belong to the body of Christ? Should I take what belongs to Christ and join it to a prostitute? Never! Don't you know that when you join yourself to a prostitute, you become one with her in body? Scripture says the two will become one. But anyone who is joined to the Lord becomes one with him in spirit. Keep far away from sexual sins. All sins a person commits are outside his body. But sexual sins are against one's own body. Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is in you. You have received him from God. You do not belong to yourselves. Christ has paid the price for you. So use your bodies in a way that honors God. So I want to break this down a little bit and kind of look at this and talk about, okay, here is a message that is being shared to us now. And if you had the chance to talk to future you, would you say, wait, don't do this, hold on, you're about to make a big mistake? If Anakin could say, no, it's not worth it. I mean, you would lose millions and billions of dollars for Disney, but don't go to the dark side, Anakin. Cameron, it's not worth it, it's a Ferrari. Anyway, so the question is, if you could give yourself warnings, here are some warnings that I would suggest for the future you. Some things. And what's so cool, like I said, Paul is talking about issues in this church in Corinth that sound like they're issues for us today. And that's like, people are like, the Bible is 2,000 years old or more. It's not even worth anything. No, like God's word is supernatural. It's living and active. Like the stuff that is in the Bible then applies now. It matters to us today. And so the first thing that I would, a message that you should give to future you is this. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. We have to be careful as followers of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if this is your first time, you're like, hey, I'm just checking out the church thing, this is interesting. Cool, like, great, we're glad to have you. But if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus or a Christian, then just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. There are things that are legal that are not right. For example, I mean, it might not be good for a Christ follower. For example, alcohol. Alcohol is legal. The Bible doesn't say anything against drinking. But getting drunk is typically not illegal unless you drive. But that is not right, according to the Bible. What are some other things here? Cheating with legal loopholes. You know, if you know the right people, you know the right loopholes, you can get out of doing something, and it's totally legal on paper, but you're cheating the system. So things like that, they might be legal, but it doesn't mean they're right. And that's what Paul says here in the first couple verses. He says, some of you say, he's talking to this church that he planted, to these people in Corinth, and he says, some of you say, next slide. Some of you, there we go. Some of you say, everything is permitted for me. And that's the saying. Like these people in Corinth, they're like, hey, everything's cool. It's all good. But then he says, but not everything is good for me. It might be legal, but it doesn't mean it's good. And he says, again, some of you say, anything is permitted for me. Everything is permitted for me. He says, but I will not be mastered by anything. Like, there are things that are totally legal that can completely enslave you to addiction. And Paul says, look, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. We can't just use that as the argument. And he's talking to a church 2,000 years ago. Today, there are things that are legal, but that doesn't mean they're right. And we need to make sure that we're not allowing whatever government, whatever leader, whatever, determining what our morality level is. Because just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And that's what was going on then. Paul was like, your law allows for this. But he says, it doesn't mean it's good for you. And as we kind of take these steps about looking at the future, right now, are there things that you're going, well, it's allowed. It's not against the law. But does that mean it's a wise choice for the sake of your future? The second thing, just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good for you. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's good for you. And, you know, that's hey, just whatever makes you happy. Whatever works for you, find out what works for you. I remember this little stupid song when I was in, I don't know, high school? Why am I singing songs like that in high school? I don't know. But I was a different person. But this idea, like, the culture says, hey, if it makes you feel good, do it. If it works for you, if it's your thing, if you feel empowered, if it gives you energy and positive vibes, then do it. Because that's what matters. And Paul's like, no! Just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good. There are a whole lot of things that we could talk about that feel good that aren't good for us. I mean, last night, Kendra made some amazing hamburgers. And they had avocado, and they had these like brioche kind of bun things that were crusty and a good kind of crusty. And pickles and tomato and bacon. And oh, it was so good. And she made extras. And there were intentions, I'm sure, for me to eat a second one. And I didn't. And one of my kids was like, why are you eating a second one? I was like, because it's not the right choice. It's not wise. It's not a healthy thing. And then she's like, oh, so you're going to binge on cereal later tonight, aren't you? Like, no. But you know, it's good, but it doesn't mean it's good for me to eat two hamburgers at every meal. That would cause some issues for me on so many levels, mostly my genetic cholesterol disposition. But so the idea of just because it feels good doesn't mean that it is good for you. And so Paul talks about this in the next couple of verses. He says, some of you say, again, looking at the culture, some of the people in Corinth were saying food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. So let's just kind of pause right there. What does that mean? Well, they're going, hey, you know, you got to eat. God made us, so we've got to eat. And if we don't eat, we're going to die. So we've got this appetite and we need to eat and feed this appetite. And if we don't feed this appetite, we're going to die. Well, God gave me my sexual appetite too. And if I don't feed it, I'm going to die. If I don't get it, I'm going to die. And Paul says, but let's pause here for a second. Food is for the stomach and stomach for food. He said, but God will destroy them both. And the word destroy means there's going to be a point where there's going to be a time and ultimately in heaven at the end where your stomach and food aren't going to matter. They're going to be irrelevant. He says, so that argument doesn't apply. He says, because your body is not meant for sexual sins. And we're going to come back to this phrase, sexual sins, in like that phrase there. The Greek word is porneia. And we're going to talk about pornography in a little bit. But he says, the body is not meant for sexual sins. He says, your body is meant for the Lord. He goes on and says, and the Lord is meant for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord, raised Jesus from the dead. We're going to celebrate that next month in April. It's called Easter. And he says, and he will also raise us up. And so Paul is saying, look, your arguments are like, well, I've got to feed my appetite. Yeah, that applies for your stomach, but that's not going to last. Food isn't going to be around in eternity. He says, but your body will. God will resurrect your body. And you're either going to be resurrected to go to eternity with Jesus in heaven or to eternity in hell. But he says, your body matters. And he says, so you need to change your argument. Just because it feels good, hey, I need to feed this appetite, doesn't mean it's good for you, because that argument doesn't work, because our bodies are going to last. And our bodies are meant for God. And we'll come back to that concept in a moment. So again, another warning from future you saying, hey, look, just because it feels good doesn't mean it's good for you, and we need to be careful. Again, Paul's writing 2,000 years ago, but we're hearing the same things today. That just because it feels good, hey, then if it feels good, then go for it. And that is just not true, because it feels good doesn't mean it is good. The third warning that you should give the future you, if you could, is just because it's secret doesn't mean it is. Now we're starting to get to another level here. You know, there's some that are like, you know, I don't really care. I don't really believe in Jesus. I'm not following this God thing. I don't care about his rules. Okay, fair enough. But some of you are followers of Jesus, and you're going, well, no one knows about this, so it's okay. It's okay. No one knows. If they don't find out, it's not a big deal. And Paul says, look, just because you think it's secret doesn't mean it is. He goes on and says, don't you know that your bodies belong to the body of Christ? The word that he was writing, of course, he wrote in Greek. That was the language. He said that your bodies belong to the body of Christ. He says that your body is a part. Like, we use the phrase body of Christ, especially if you've grew up in church or you've been around. Like, that means the church, the body of Christ. But he's talking in a more literal sense, that our bodies are a part of Jesus' body. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we take Jesus with us. Jesus, we are part of his body. And so he goes on and says, your bodies belong to the body of Christ. So are you going to take Jesus' body, a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Like, think about that. Just, that's what he's getting at. Because part of the issue with the church in Corinth was that they felt that prostitution, temple prostitution, was a way to worship. You sleep with a prostitute. And Paul's like, whoa, wait a second. You are Jesus. You have a part of Jesus in you. You are part of his body. And you're going to say, I'm going to make sure that Jesus sleeps with a prostitute tonight. Maybe Jesus can get a little something-something with a hooker. You know, that'll be good. Yeah, I mean, are people shaking their heads like, what? No. And that's what Paul is saying. When we do the same thing with our sexual bodies, we are saying, hey, I'm bringing Jesus right along in this thing. I'm bringing Jesus into this relationship. I'm bringing Jesus into this website. I'm bringing Jesus into this video. Whatever it is, we're bringing Jesus with us. So he says, don't think that you're secret in this thing, because you're not. And that's what the word never means. It's two words. He's like, never, never, ever. Like, it's not a, it depends on the situation. No, when he says never, this is a strong, forceful, may it never be. May it never happen. And he goes on and says, don't you know that when you join yourself to a prostitute, you become one with her in body? The scripture says, which sounds familiar, we looked at this a couple times in the last during this series. Scripture says the two will become one. It says, but anyone who is joined to the Lord becomes one with him in spirit. He says, look, you know, this sexual thing, it's not just an act. It's not just this like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Hey, it feels good. It's okay. I got to feed my appetite. He says, all of those things, okay, whatever. But now you're bringing Jesus into that act. Don't miss this, Paul is saying. He says, hey, Jesus, is this good for you? You want some of this? I had some fun listening to some music the other day, and I thought, how many of these songs don't talk about sex? I picked a random playlist. They all do. And like, once upon a time, and I'm not saying this is right, but when, at least when I was younger, there was at least love involved. Love, and love is in quotes, because let's not even talk about that. Love is a decision. But now it's just like, hey, baby, I'm drunk, let's have sex. That's most of your pop songs today. And then tomorrow morning, you leave. So, like, it's not even like, I hope you stay. Like, at least Chicago had some, like, come on, baby, I want you the next day, Journey. Like, oh, sorry, I'm dating myself a little bit. But now it's just like, let's have sex. It doesn't matter. And Paul's like, no, it does matter, because Jesus is with you. You're bringing Jesus with you into this relationship. He says, absolutely not. So the warnings for future you so far, we've got just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. Telling yourself, just because it feels good doesn't mean it's good for you. Just because it's secret doesn't mean it is. Just because you think no one's going to know, Jesus is with you and he at least knows. Moving on. Sorry if you're taking notes. We're going to change slides because I ran out of room. Just because you can't see the consequences doesn't mean there aren't any. Just because you can't see the consequences doesn't mean there are any. He goes on then in verse 18 and says, keep far away from sexual sins. Other translations say flee. And if you remember the very first week of this series, we talked about fences might look like fleeing. They might look like facing. They might look like fighting. And he says, flee. Keep far away. Not close. Not like, well, what's the line I can cross? Does oral sex count? That's not that big of a deal, right? It's okay. No. He says, get away. If you're questioning that, you've not fled. He says, stay away. Keep far away from sexual sins, from pornea, from this idea of doing things inappropriate sexually. And we'll talk about what those are in a moment. He says, all sins a person commits are outside of his body. And depending on your translation, this may or may not be in quotes. But this is another saying of the church in Corinth, the people in Corinth. They're like, you know what? It's not a big deal. It's outside of my body. It doesn't bother me. It's not hurting anybody else. Because sins are outside. Like, it doesn't really matter. What's a little sex here and there? It doesn't matter. And Paul is like, no, that's the myth. He says, but sexual sins are sins against one's own body. He says, when you sin sexually, like, it's not just like, well, it's just an act, it's a thing out there. He's like, no, it's part of you. And as he said a moment ago, you are part of Jesus. So you think, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not going to matter. There's no consequences. And Paul, and I mean, throughout Scripture, we see this, like, no, it does matter. There's serious consequences. And maybe you escape the diseases. Maybe you don't get we don't call them STDs anymore. What are they called? STI? Again, sorry, I'm so old. But maybe you escape the diseases. But that doesn't even begin to touch the relational issues. And we don't have time to talk about this. I don't have time to talk about it. But the idea of, like, when you're hooking up with different people, when you're in different sexual relationships, because the two become one flesh, you're disconnecting your future. And frankly, I mean, that's the whole point. If you could fast forward, like, you know what? All those decisions ruined my marriage later. Because they affect it. Because you're like, why? How do I trust someone? Because you can't, because you don't really trust yourself. Other things that we talk about is just the rewiring of your brain. I don't have time to get into that either. But every time you have a sexual release, an orgasm, I said that word in church. Every time you have an orgasm, your brain is connected to that visual thing you were looking at, whether that's another person, whether that's a visual image on a screen. And therefore, every time that happens, there's a bonding that takes place. And if you are continuing to have a sexual orgasm with the same person, that bond gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's why God said, hey, let's hold this sex thing for marriage when there's a relationship that matters. We'll get to that. But when you don't, that relationship, you're bonding with all these different things and these different people. And all of a sudden, this bond is not strong at all. And people are like, why are my relationships working? Because you're not following the examples and the instructions that God has given. He says, look, this is what matters. You think there's no consequences, but there are. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean there aren't any. And again, if you had the chance to say to future you, like, listen, don't do this right now. It's not worth it. Fast forward, please, don't make this decision. You think it's not going to matter, but it does. It's affecting you, and it's affecting your future. And I'm telling you right now, before we go any further about this whole future thing, there are people in this room that could stand up and say, yes, I wish I had told past me not to make that decision, because I'm now dealing with the consequences of it. And that's not, and we'll talk about God's grace and how beautiful and incredible that is. But I'm just saying, there's decisions that people are making that are like, man, if I had known, I would never have done it. It wouldn't have been worth it. So then the next warning for future you, just because you think you're in charge doesn't mean you are. And again, I'm specifically talking right now to those of you that consider yourselves Christ followers. And this idea, like, I can do whatever I want. You can't hold me down. The man's going to go. Government, they can't take me. Like, this whole idea, like, I'm in charge. I've got myself. And I just want you to know, you're not. If you think you're in charge of yourself, then the song that we sung a few minutes ago, you should please don't sing it when you said, Jesus, you're my one thing. Because Jesus isn't your one thing. You are your one thing. You want what you want. And Paul is very clear. He says, look, if you're a follower of Jesus, you think you're in charge. And this isn't a bad thing, because Jesus is. Jesus is in charge. You're not. And that's what he says in verse 19 to 20. He says, don't you know? And there's a very emphatic here. It's a very strong, like, come on, guys. Guys, get this. Don't you get this? Realize this. Please. Don't miss this. Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Now for us, like that sounds pretty cool. It means I need to work out. And that's probably part of it, you know, caring for our physical bodies. But to the audience of Corinth, they knew what the temple was. They remember seeing it. It was a physical place where God dwelled. And we talked about that in our Dwell series, about the temple and the tabernacle. And he says, now the temple building is gone. We are the temple. And he says, the Spirit is in you. You have received him from God. So again, we talked about this. Jesus with us is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. He says, you do not belong to yourselves. Okay, now wait, what are we talking about here? Christ has paid the price for you. Other translations say you were bought with a price. Other translations say you were bought with a very high price. See, Jesus could have been like, you know what? Your sin, you deserve hell. And you're going to get it. We talked about that a few weeks ago. I know it came up in Prime Group as well. Like, why did Adam and Eve get to live? Because God was full of grace. When he could have been like, you know what? I'm done. I'm starting over. And we deserve hell. And Jesus said, but I'm not content with that. All of our sins, and we'll get to that in a moment, all of our sins are worthy of eternal death, eternal separation from God. But God said, I'm not content with that, so I'm sending my son to die for you instead. He is going to take the punishment that you deserve. So what did it cost you for you to have hope, for you to have heaven, for you to consider yourself a Christ follower? It cost Jesus his life. Don't even start talking about like, well, that was inconvenient. Okay, that was his life. And so Paul is like, look, just remember, if you're a follower of Jesus, don't miss this. Jesus, he paid for you with his life. So use your body in a way that honors God. Guys, don't miss it. Do you not know? That's what he's saying. This is a big deal. You think that you're in control. You think you're in charge. You think it's not going to matter. But don't forget that, no, Jesus bought you. He paid a price for you that was way higher than anything we would ever pay. And therefore, we need to honor God in what we do. And again, if you're not a Christ follower, this doesn't need to apply to you. But, so two more warnings from future you. Just because you can't see the consequences doesn't mean there aren't any. And just because you think you're in charge doesn't mean you are. And so all of this comes to this idea of, what would we do differently if we knew what it was going to cost us in the future? Or even again, looking back, okay, what decision had you made that if you had done it differently, today you'd be like, wow, this would be a whole different story. Because fences in our sexuality protect our future. And we could talk about this future decision-making about a lot of things. But I think sex, especially culturally, which Paul knew in the culture of Corinth, that it was just kind of like, it's not a big deal. It's okay. Everyone's doing it. It feels good. It works out on paper. They said they love me. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's just a video. It doesn't really matter. It's legal. It's okay. It's allowed now. Like, no. We can't just let that be the reason, the way we do what we do. Okay, God, if you created standards, if you created reasons, and we talk about this so many times, that God's perfection, God's goal for us is to obey him. We obey him because it's for our best. Anything outside of that is called sin. And it's to our own detriment, to our own peril, to our own hurt and pain when we choose to ignore what God has for us. So fences in our sexuality protect our future. So let's talk about what are the fences. What are these things? Okay, we get it. Maybe you get it. Like, this is important. This is a big deal. So what does that look like? What does that look like? So let's talk about four areas that we need to create fences from. Fences for the future. And again, we talk about fences being boundaries, being parameters, saying, okay, this is the line I'm not going to cross. And according to what Paul said, this is a line we're not even going to get close to. We're going to flee. We're going to stay far away from it. The first thing we need to fence ourselves from is, how do I put it here, extramarital sex. And I think, I mean, we're not there yet, but I think culturally, like, of course, if you're married to someone, you don't have sex with someone else. Maybe that's not an of course anymore. But we need to fence ourselves from extramarital sex. And so I'm saying that if you are married, you should not be having sex with anyone who is not your spouse. And I should also add to this, if you are not married and you're trying to have sex with someone else's spouse, that's not good either.
We'll get to that in a moment. But this idea of sex, extramarital sex, sex outside of marriage. We talked 2 weeks ago when we looked at marriage about how God wants couples to have sex. He says to do this so that you don't burn with passion. He says do it so that the devil isn't tempted. Like, this is designed on purpose. And though he says anything outside of that isn't. And here's a passage in Proverbs that I'm going to kind of fly through. But we looked at last week another proverb, a couple of proverbs. And they're basically true-to-life statements. And this is Solomon giving wisdom to the people around him and here specifically to his son. And he's saying, son, listen, I want to give you some instructions, some important things to realize. And he's talking about here, your translation, this is the NLT, it might say an adulterous woman, it might say a promiscuous woman, an immoral woman. The idea is, there's a woman, son, that she wants to take you outside of your marriage. And so he says, for the lips of an immoral woman are sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Ooh, she's good. Watch out. She's good. She sounds good. It looks good. It seems like it's okay. It'll feel okay. There's no consequences. But in the end, she is bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I am about to say. Stay away from her! Don't go near the door of her house! There's an exclamation point there.
Is he one of those preachers that yells all the time?
Solomon did it, not me. If you do, you will lose your honor and lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. He says, look, don't go there. You think it's okay. You think it's not going to matter, but it's going to ruin you. Everything you thought you had is going to fall apart when you start getting involved in an extramarital affair. When you start getting involved with someone outside of your spouse. He goes on and says, listen to this. Please listen to this. Especially if you're young. You're not married. That's cool. You have some chances to make some wise decisions. I guess if you're old, you can make decisions too. I don't know. But he says here, you will say, and maybe that's just me. As I get to a spot now, I'm looking back going like, man, some of these people in my life knew what they were talking about. You will say, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Future Solomon is going, look, I fast-forwarded. I'm like, what the heck? Why wasn't I listening to them when they said, don't do this? When they said, watch out? When they said, stay away? When they said, that relationship looks a little bit crazy? When you shouldn't be talking to them that way? Why didn't I listen? Now I must face public disgrace. He says, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. And we looked at this passage a couple weeks ago. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breath satisfy you always. That was in the Bible. Anyway, may you always be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman or fondle the breasts of a promiscuous woman? Solomon says, look, you need to build a fence. Outside of marriage, you should not be in any kind of a sexual or even borderline sexual relationship with someone that is not your spouse. The second thing, the fence we need to build around is premarital sex. And by the way, there's like a really fancy word for this, fornication, in case you cared. If you're reading like maybe the King James, it talks about fornication in there. But premarital sex, sex before you get married, because this is like that last one. Yeah, we get it. This one is like, it doesn't really matter. We need to try it out first. Can I take it for a test drive? Can I see how it works? Can I see how we click? Like, yes, Cameron, let's take it for a quick test drive and see what happens. Ferris, I'm sure, won't hurt anything. This idea of sex before marriage. We looked at this verse last a couple weeks ago, too, when we were talking about marriage. The writer of Hebrews says, marriage should be honored by all. And that means everybody. So if you're married or not married, that means you, which is everybody. And the marriage bed kept pure. And this word pure means that unspoiled, untainted, unsplit apart, unwith like, yeah, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of Monica by my side, a little bit. No. None of that. He says it should be kept pure. That was an old song, wasn't it? He says, kept pure, not spoiled. What does that mean? He says, you shouldn't be having sex outside of marriage with anyone before you get married. Why? So that when you get married, your bed, this is a metaphor, will be pure. That this is what it was designed for. Yes, go for it. That's what Solomon said there too. Hey, go for it. You're married. Enjoy it. Make it happen. That's what it's for. He goes on and says, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. There's that word porneia again. The adulterer. Sex outside of marriage, sex before marriage. Now, what does this judgment mean? And we're going to talk about that in a moment too. But it's not like, okay, if you do this, you are done. No, what Paul is saying here, or the writer of Hebrews, sorry, is saying here is, look, these are the sins that sent Jesus to the cross. Just like lying. Just like cheating. Just like gossiping. Those are all sins. He said, these are all sins that are going to judge us. Someone is going to be judged for our sin, including adultery, including sex before marriage. And the question is, who's going to be judged for that sin? There's still going to be consequences. But Jesus, ultimately, if you're a follower of his, is the one that was judged for that. Then we get into 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote this to the church in Thessalonica. That's a long name. Thessalonica, and he said, and by the way, a lot of people are like, I wish I knew what God's will is for my life. Let me give you this one. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. What does sanctified mean? It means set apart. It means unique. It means special. Not like everyone else. Not like the crowd. Not like all the people around you. Not like all the people on Facebook or in your job or at the restaurant or at the bar or whatever. You should be sanctified. You should be set apart. That's what God wants for us. That you should avoid sexual immorality. Again, this idea of sex before marriage. Fornication, porneia. That each of you, he said, that's what you should do. You should learn to control your own body. He says, you're not animals. You're not a dog that just needs to have its way with whatever. You're a human being. You are bought with a price. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. So learn to control your body. You can do it. In a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust. Oh, I just got to do it. Like the pagans who do not know God. He's like, look. Don't allow this world that doesn't know God to be the standard for what we do. For how we live. Like, well, they did it. Well, they don't know God. They don't know any better. They're going to go, wow, I wish I knew. And he says, in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister, which is a really interesting thing, too, because, you know, there is someone, if they're a follower of Jesus or just someone that is created in the image of God, by doing something, you're not only ruining your future marriage, you're affecting their future marriage, too. And it's easy to be like, oh, it's just me. It's not that big. No, but there is someone else that's affected in that relationship. So the Lord will punish, there he goes, the same idea. The Lord will punish all of those who commit such sins. As we told you and warned you before, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And so he's saying, look, this is the thing. Jesus died for these sins too. These are all sins. They're sins. And what that means is it's not what God wants from you. And this is my favorite as a pastor. I love this one. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being. If you're not happy with what I said, I don't care. I've got a get out of jail free card because this isn't mine. But God, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So look, God's like, this is what I want from you. It's not a taking something away from you. It's not keeping you from something good. It's not ruining things. It's because I'm making what's best for you. So we need to build a fence and say, no, that's a boundary. I am not going to cross that line. And if you're with someone that is forcing you to cross that line, hey, guess what? They're probably not a good influence. You should listen to last week's point. Because they're not drawing you closer to Jesus. They're drawing you away. You need to build a fence around your fences. A fence around your fences. A fence around your fences. No, I can't say it. You know what I'm saying. No, I'm not going to say it. Okay. So, we need to build fences. We need to fence ourselves from extramarital sex, premarital sex, same sex. We're in a culture. Again, Paul's like, hey, it's because it's legal, it's okay. You know what? That doesn't mean just because same sex is legal that it's okay. It doesn't mean that it's right. And here we are in Romans chapter 1. This is what Paul says to the church in Rome. He's talking about just this whole culture, the culture in Rome. It's like they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. So he's saying this is what's going on. These people turned away from God and they went in a direction and God's like, you know what? That's fine. Just go for it. And he says, they abandoned their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserve. Now, we need to be clear about something, because we're in a world that says, you know, homosexuality is okay. It's not a sin. It's not that big of a deal. And oftentimes, it's like, well, Leviticus, we don't, you know, worry about boiling goats in mother's milk now. And we don't worry about following all those Old Testament laws. You're right, we don't. We are beyond that. Jesus came and said, I'm done. I'm fulfilling that law. But here we are in the New Testament, where Paul is saying, look, this is wrong. And just because it's legal doesn't mean it's okay. And just understand something else. Just because our culture has made this in some sort of a good or bad thing, and just because there's a whole lot of people, not a whole lot, but there are loud, let's put it that way, people that call themselves followers of Jesus that are hateful, doesn't mean you can't say this is a sin and still love people. We can love people and say it's a sin. And Paul says it's a sin, so it shouldn't be gray. Going on here, same thing. Someone had to suffer for this sin. Then later in 1 Corinthians 6, just earlier in the verse that we're looking at right now, the passage we're looking at this morning, he says, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, people having sex before marriage, nor idolaters, people that worship idols, worship other things rather than God, including ourselves, nor adulterers, people having sex outside of marriage that are married, nor men who have sex with men, homosexual, nor thieves, people that steal, nor the greedy, people that want more than they deserve, maybe a little more money, that's what matters, nor drunkards, people that get drunk, nor slanderers, people that talk bad about other people, nor swindlers, people that cheat and work the system, will inherit the kingdom of God. So hold on, right? Don't go any further, Matt. So understand that Paul is like, these are sin. These are wrong. All of them. And these people will not inherit the kingdom of God, meaning you and me, because on our own, in our sin, we're done. And I love this part. This is my favorite part. And listen, if you get in an argument or discussion, be like, oh yeah, that's why all the church hates gay people. Like, can just point them to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is what Paul ends the verse with here. Now click it. Maybe. There we go. And he says, and that is what some of you were. He's like, we're all in this boat. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He's like, we're all messed up. We're all sinners. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came because I'm going to die for you. And I love you. And I love you and your sin. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what your sin is. So please, like, yes, homosexuality is sin. It is wrong. No question. But can we stop as a church? Maybe we be the ones not singling it out as though that's the one that God's really mad about. Now, all of our sin sent Jesus to the cross. So, fences in our future. We need to fence ourselves from extramarital sex, premarital sex, same sex. And then finally, we need to fence ourselves from porn sex. And what is that? Pornography. Visual images. I mean, do they even have paper pornography anymore? I don't know if there's such a thing as magazines. I mean, that's the crazy thing about culture today, about life today. Like, my friend Matt, his dad had a stash hidden in his closet that I once saw one time. Like, unfortunately, every one of you right now could be staring at porn right now while you're sitting in this room, because you can bring it right up on your devices. And again, this is one of those other gray areas in culture. Like, it doesn't matter. Hey, if you got to feed your urge somehow, right? Stomach for food, food for stomach. We need to feed these appetites. It's okay. It's not going to hurt anybody. And it is. It's dangerous. It's a problem. It's an issue. We can't say this is all right. Any relationship, whether it's visual, whether it's, I don't know, they still have phone sex. Do people even call phone lines anymore? 1-900 numbers. That was like the thing when I was growing up. You call 1-900 for anything. You could talk to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on the 1-900 number. But all of it is wrong. And why? Because of everything we just talked about, for one. But also because Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. Hopefully by now, in this context today, or if you're listening online, you have heard that you must not commit adultery, okay? If you haven't heard, you're probably doing something else and have been for the last few minutes, perhaps looking at porn, which would also be another reason to pay attention. He says, but I say anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus raises the bar. He says it's not okay. He says if you even look, it's the same as doing what Solomon was warning his sons about, sleeping around with someone else. And so we need to build a fence around that. And all of these things we talked about in our sex asterisk, yep, we're going there series a number of years ago. And I went into specific things. We'll actually post that link on our Facebook page later this week. But I talked about these specifically, and especially like the porn. Talk about what are some boundaries? How do we build fences around that? What does it look like? Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to lose your hand than to fall into sin. That's my paraphrase. And so maybe we need to be drastic when it comes to this issue. Because it's a lot. We think it's private. We think it's secret. Nobody knows. You're bringing Jesus with you into it. So, fences for our future. We need to fence ourselves from extramarital sex, premarital sex, same sex, and porn sex. All of these things are not what God wants for us. And if we have the chance to fast forward and go, wait, it was just one look. It didn't really matter. It wasn't that big of a deal. I wasn't hurting anybody else. And then 10 years down the road, you're addicted to porn and you're losing your marriage. You're losing your family. You might even lose your job going, if only I knew. Man, it wasn't a big deal. We were just meeting for coffee. She was a coworker. It's okay. Years down the road, marriage falls apart. If only you knew, why did I make that decision? Because we need to fence ourselves from these things. Because fences in our sexuality protect our future. Like, this is one of those things, again, where culture and all these other things around us are saying, it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't matter. It's okay. And I'm just saying, all of the things we've talked about are what God wants for us for our best. It's not to hold you back. It's to push you forward. It's not to keep you from happiness. It's to give you joy, which is a different thing from happiness. And so here's what I want to end with. Because I don't know who I was talking to. I know it was Kendra and a couple other people. Like, there's probably like 0.5% of you in this room that I haven't touched on an issue. That I haven't touched on one issue today that perhaps you encounter. And so for you, 0.5%, great. Good for you. But I'm guessing that on some level I have touched on some issue here that touches you, that has hit you, that is something that affects you. And it's easy to be like, oh, man, I ruined this. It's over. I'm done. Or just to blow it off and be like, I don't care. There's no way I can fix this. And I want to read this passage from John chapter 8. And I love it because I love what Jesus says at the end here. And you probably are familiar with this story if you grew up in church. But it says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders. They were trying to prove how right they were and how wrong Jesus was. So they brought in a woman caught in adultery. It says that in a moment. It says, they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. So just understand context here. It wasn't like, hey, excuse me, Judy. Hi, yeah, I was wondering, in a few more days, we're going to send some Pharisees over to get you, and we're going to bring you before Jesus. So make sure you're ready. Okay, yeah, cool. Because that was a phone. That's what phones used to look like, okay? Okay. Jesus? No. And so, no, it wasn't that. It was in the act. She is probably maybe clothed, maybe wearing a bed sheet. Maybe this was an act. They wasn't like, okay. So here's this woman. And they say, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? And again, kind of what we were talking about earlier. They're like, hey, the Old Testament says we need to kill her. Come on, Jesus. She was caught in the act. There's no question. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Because they wanted to catch Jesus. So Jesus bent down and started right on the ground with his finger. I don't know what he was doing, why he was doing that. Maybe just to let them continue to blabber on. He says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And this is a very common passage. You're like, don't judge me. Jesus said you shouldn't be throwing the stones first. You know, you cast a stone at her without sin. Like, that is what Jesus said, but don't leave. Listen. And again, so he says, if you're without sin, throw the first stone. Go for it. Again, he stoops right on the ground, kind of let things go on. And then he says, all at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, maybe there's something about old wisdom, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. So here's Jesus and this woman. And again, understand context. Understand what she probably looked like. Like if we're embarrassed to say, hey, Jesus, do you want to hook up? Here's this woman standing naked, caught in the act of adultery, just Jesus. And he straightens up and say to her. So they all left. They realize, you know what? Sin is sin. And I've got sin. She's got sin. We all got sin. He said, woman, where are they? And that wasn't a disrespectful thing. Has no one condemned you? He says, look, lady, where is everybody? No one is here to stone you? No one, sir, she said. Now listen to what Jesus says here. His response is, neither do I condemn you. Jesus says, look, I'm not here to condemn you. And in the back of his mind, the asterisk there is, because I'm going to be condemned for you. I'm not going to condemn you. And it's easy when we start talking about these issues. People are like, oh, don't be the first to cast the stone. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Jesus didn't condemn anybody for their sin. Right. And then, neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. And that's the key that's missed. And that's what I love about this. John talks about how Jesus is full of grace and truth. There's grace. Neither do I condemn you. And truth. Now leave your life of sin. And I just want to share that for you. Wherever you find yourself in this discussion, like, there is grace for you. Jesus says, I don't condemn you. I died on the cross for your sin. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate people that have given their lives believing that Jesus died for their sin. We call that baptism. And if you're interested, please talk to me. I have a couple more spots I want to fill in. But grace is available. It's not done. It's not over. Jesus died. He said he knows. He knows what goes on. And then the second thing he says, though, is go now and leave your life of sin. So believe that you have been forgiven. But then take the steps and say, okay, no more. I'm building a fence. I'm done. I'm not staying in this issue. I'm moving outside of it. Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin full of grace and truth. And that is what Jesus offers to us. And that is hope beyond hope. Like, it's just beautiful. Because we're not stuck and we still have a future. That's what Jesus wants from us. So fences in our sexuality, they protect our future. What would the future you say to you about the decisions you're making right now? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that indeed you sent your son Jesus to die for us. That our hope, that our life cost Jesus his life. And no matter what our sin, whether it's sexual sin, whether it's homosexual sin, whether it's pornographic sin, whether it's lying, whether it's greed, whether it's lust, whether it's desire, whether it's anger, all of that sin sent Jesus to the cross for us. And so I thank you, God, that we are not condemned because Jesus was condemned, if we simply believe in what he did for us on the cross. And then on top of that, God, I pray that we would then go and leave our lives of sin, not out of guilt, not out of anger or bitterness, but out of hope. Because what you have for us is the best. And your desire for us is to honor you in all of our lives, including our sexuality. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope that we have in you. In your name we pray. Amen.